And now, for your listening pleasure, the Blazing Defender Report with your host, Travis Jones.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another... Yeah, I know, I'm still doing these fucking things. What is wrong with me? Episode of the Blazing Defender Report. What's up, guys? I'm your host, Travis Jones. Happy Wednesday. What do we know about Wednesdays? New comic books come out. That's right, guys. And we've got new comic books to talk about today. But I'll be honest, not a lot. And this is why. They come out today. I had a funeral I had to attend earlier today. I haven't had a whole lot of time to read. And the ones that I did read for the show, I only read them once. So I'm really, really sorry that I've only read them once. So, but I am going to give you my review. I am going to tell you what I liked this week. And actually, there was a couple really big surprises. But what I want to do is, because I didn't get a lot of the books read this week, I want to tell you about some books that I have been reading that I really haven't talked a lot on the show about, and they're fantastic, and I think you'll like them, and if you're looking for something new to dive into, I think some of these books would be perfect for the new comic reader, if you will. But yeah, guys, so I want to thank everybody in the chat. I want to thank everybody that's given me support over the years, especially coming over to Twitch. I was a little apprehensive, I'm not going to lie. I was apprehensive about coming to Twitch. Facebook was always my medium to get my show out. And Twitch has been really, really good for me. So as I was saying, some of you guys may not heard it, just coming onto the show. I had a funeral today. I wanted the show at 6. I was driving like fucking madman, like Batman chasing the Joker down, trying to get here in time. I already posted it in the comments. Okay, cool, man. Thank you for that, Jay. Apparently, there's been some trouble with the link that I posted and being able to chat. Well, motherfucker, if you can't chat, then why watch the show, right? Or listen to it for that matter. So everybody listening on iTunes, my new, the medium I'm trying to push now, or the new forum, is Anchor. Anchor's really cool, guys. It allows me to do some things that I haven't done in the past. And what I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm going to give some first impressions about some books that will go strictly to iTunes. It'll only be 3 or 4 minutes. I'm just going to talk about the new Batman, some of the other ones that I didn't get to review on the show because, like I said, I was rushed today, so I only got a few books read. But I am going to tell you about some really, really, really cool comics that I've been reading. If you've been looking for something to get into, you don't have to know 70 years of backstory to understand the stories. They're really, really good self-contained stories that have really great artwork and stuff. Stuff that I would highly recommend to anybody looking to get into comic books. So we're going to talk about that today because I don't have a lot, man. I just don't have a lot. Some shit in movies. Let's just fuck it. We're going to get into it. But I want to thank everybody in the chat for being here today. You could have phoned in an overview of the X-Books wrapping up. Yeah, you know, I thought about doing that, but Casey Strohs really wants to be a part of that show, and so does Big Sam. So, and X-Men number one came out today. So I am going to review that. That was actually the very first book I read today. I was very excited to read that. But yeah, I think we're going to do a very special show. We're going to talk about who we think the Red King's going to be. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today as well. We're going to talk about the Quiet Council. So yeah, that's going to be a special show coming up with me, Casey, and Big Sam. But I was thinking about doing that, Jason. It's funny, man. Great minds, right, brother? Great minds. All right, really, really quick. Something that I read right before the show came on, or right before I went live. Jessica Henwick. Does anybody know who that is? Brian, I think you know, because I think you got a secret crush on her. She is being eyed for a role in Matrix 4. Okay, now, what caught my attention was Iron Fist star being pursued by Warner Brothers for Matrix 4 role. And I went, motherfucker, if they get Ben Jones, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. Well, was it? It was Jessica Henwick, and she is Colleen Wing. So, oh my God. Fucking love Colleen Wing, man. The only bright spot in that whole fucking show was Colleen Wing. So, yeah, very, very excited of that news. Neil Patrick Harris has got a role. What? Neil Patrick Harris in Matrix 4? Please have him do Kung Fu. Please have him do Kung Fu. That would be the dopest shit ever. You've got Jada Pinkett Smith coming back for Matrix 4. Of course, you got Carrie Ann Moss and the internet's boyfriend, Keanu Reeves. So it's obviously not going to be some type of prequel deal. It is going to be a sequel. I probably missed the Doctor Strange villain news. I guess I did. I did not see that on comic book resources, and if I did, I must have skimmed over it. Well, don't keep us waiting. Who is the Doctor Strange villain? I think I don't know this. Do I know this? I don't think I know this. Agatha Harkness is Eva Green and Suma Gorath in addition to Nightmare. Wow. Whoa, they are going for it, aren't they? That is news. Very, very cool. All right. I was already intrigued with the Doctor Strange story anyway, calling it the, what are they calling it? The Multiverse House of Madness or some shit. So, you know, I feel like what everybody thought was going to happen in Endgame, well, I ain't going to say everybody. I thought they would have left that door open for multiple universes in Endgame to, you know, get all these Sony properties over that they reacquired. But they really didn't do that. They really didn't, other than them traveling through time through the multiverse, that's all we really got. We didn't see any glimpses of any other multiverses that they could possibly bring in. So with the Doctor Strange title, you know, the title alone back at Comic-Con San Diego basically led to, this is the movie they're going to do it. But no, that's Eva Green and them. That's going to be, yeah, that's going to be perfect, man. I love Eva Green, man. She's a fucking smoke show. So yeah, very, very good news. So that's on the movie front as well. Thank you, Jason. Terminator Dark Fate gets rated R, gets an R rating, which I'm fucking happy about, for violence, language, nudity. Yes. But you know whose nudity it's going to be. We're going to see old wrinkly ass Arnold. We're going to see his old wrinkly balls, his old Terminator balls. Do Terminators have balls? And his old wrinkly ass probably. So, but that's cool. You know, I'm with it. I'm very excited for Terminator movies. Like, I loved the original, and I love it that they're kind of just disregarding everything, all the other Terminators, and then going straight from, I believe it's two. I think they're saying one and two, which are the best, right? And then they're gonna go from there. So I'm pretty excited for that. Venom, the movie where he's gonna go against Cletus Kasady, which is Carnage, which is my favorite symbiote. Gets a new villain, Shriek. Now, if you're not familiar with Shriek, don't worry, nobody is. But she is going to be the villain. She's able to control sound waves. But it's interesting. She's also in the comics a mutant. So, you know, but Venom hasn't adhered to anything that the Marvel Universe wants it to adhere to. So they're not going to adhere to that either. But, we get another villain, Shriek. I wonder if it's going to be, which is actually Carnage's girlfriend in the comics. So I'm curious if it's going to be like a, what was the movie that Woody Harrelson and the chick did, Natural Born Killers. It sounds like it's going to have like a Natural Born Killers vibe to it, which I'm kind of cool with, but it won't be as cool as Natural Born Killers. Big news in the casting front for me personally, being very keyed into this Matt Reeves Batman movie. Zoe Kravitz is going to be Catwoman. Now, I don't know a lot about her. I know she's done some things. I haven't seen them. She, just looking at her pictures, she's definitely got sexuality down. I know some of you in the chat on the Facebook page had kind of said, nah, I ain't with it, which I was kind of shocked by. I don't know who I would like. There's several hot chicks that could pull it off. But Zoe Kravitz, she seems to have the sexuality down, and Catwoman really, really needs to have that sexuality. So she's got that. So we'll see where that goes from. Now, if you guys did not watch the Meatheads on Movies Joker review show, check that out. That's in the library, on the Twitch library, and it is on Facebook. The Blazing Defender Report page. Meatheads on Movies, this is kind of like a very special show that me and Big Sam get to do together once in a while. It doesn't have its own page or anything like that. So just go to the YouTube, Blazing Defender Report YouTube channel, and it's up there. Or check it out in the Twitch library. But Joker, which we went through in depth, has a chance to break $1 billion. I think it's like $575 domestically right now. And it has no signs of slowing down. And I'll tell you what, man, it is. I was at a funeral home. Like I said, the reason the show's late today, because I had to go to a funeral home. People were wanting to talk to me about it at the funeral home. People want to talk to me about the firehouse. People want to talk to me about it at the gym. I was at watching a football game Saturday night, and guys were wanting to talk, and girls actually were wanting to talk about Joker there. So it's man, it's a phenomena. It really is. Joker the character itself is phenomena. But now with this movie, it's bonkers. It's Jokerish, if you will. But everybody is. Even people that don't know anything about comic books, they're really, really into this Joker film, which they should be. It's fantastic cinema, and that's what movies should do, man. Movies should always bring that out of people. So, yeah, very, very cool that the Joker could make $1 billion. If it makes $1 billion, fucking bet your fucking bottom balls that there's going to be some type of sequel in this universe. They are going to bring Joaquin Phoenix's Joker back to the silver screen in some form. Again, 70-year-old Joker fighting Batman, I don't think that'll be it, but we're going to see something in the works, because $1 billion franchise, just they don't come around very often. And when they do, you got to kind of cash in. And I understand that from a business standpoint. So we'll see. Dan Slott is taking a wrath of shit on Twitter for pointing out some obvious sayings. Well, Dan Slott is kind of an asshole, from what I understand. Now, I don't know what he's saying. And you could bring that up in chat if you want, Jason. Dan Slott, I've talked to several people that worked at Marvel with Dan Slott and at DC. Because he was at DC for a little while. Haven't talked to one person that's liked him. So I don't know what he's saying. And I'll be honest, people have no idea. Well, you guys probably do because you're in it. But people have no idea how political comic books are. And I totally get stories taking political angles, because that's the world we live in. They need to make it relative. So people can get more out of that story. I totally get that. But, comic books are so political, and I don't subscribe to that shit, man. So every creator can have their own beliefs. I want my own beliefs. You're not going to change those. So, and see, basically the movie is a lot of retreads of Golden Age Scorsese. Yeah. I believe we talked a little bit about that on the review show. There is a lot of Taxi Driver, Kings of Comedy in the Joker. But again, I've yet to watch Taxi Driver, but Big Sam did. There are undertones of Scorsese, which is never a bad thing. I mean, Scorsese's a fantastic creator in his own right. Now, the shit he has said about comic book movies and comics in general, he can suck my dick on that shit, talking about how they're not real cinema. Okay, Martin, smoke another one, motherfucker. Yeah, they are real cinema, Martin. And just because you didn't do it doesn't make it not real cinema. So, you know, again, you know, Dan Slott, I have seen Taxi Driver. I haven't seen Taxi Driver in years, though. And for me to make a comparison myself about it's the exact same movie, I'm not going to do that because it's been years since I've seen Taxi Driver. Now, I keep telling myself I am going to rewatch it just to see the similarities, because I know there are some. Because just watching Joker, I've seen that influence. But I mean, all movies are rehashes of something else, and to say it's the same as something else, I think Sam said it really well on Meatheads. You know, then you wouldn't like any Marvel movie after the first one, because they're all basically the same shit, and they are. Infinity War was kind of out of the norm, and Winter Soldier, but you know, Civil War and a lot of them, all the Spider-Man movie. I mean, you know, they're all kind of rehashes of the same shit. They may do something a little bit different, but they're all kind of the same. Logan, Joker, these are movies that have kind of broke that pattern, if you will, and they've become something else. Winter Soldier, I would say, broke that pattern to some extent, but it's still a Marvel movie at heart. But they did a really good job of making it very spy-like, like a spy thriller almost, with using a Marvel character. Joker, they made a psychological drama using a comic book character, kind of like Winter Soldier did in making a spy thriller. So yeah, everything is influenced off other shit. Very, very few things are hopefully original. And when they are hopefully original, a lot of people don't gravitate to them that much. They become very cultish. Now, there's a lot of cult classics that people like because they're so fucking nuts. And that's fine, too. I mean, that's the reason we all like movies, right? They all appeal. In movies, things appeal to people that, you know, it doesn't run the scope of all the population, of all the moviegoers. So, but that's why we love them, right? I think it's pretty cool. So I'm going to get to the comics, man, because I want to definitely talk about some books later in the show that I've picked up and that I think you guys are really, really like. One of these books I'm going to go ahead and put in this week is Something is Killing the Children. If you don't buy the book on the title alone, I don't know what to tell you. This book is fucking awesome. It's great. And I'll give you a little synopsis. Something in the Woods is Killing the Children. It's kind of in the title, right? You gotta love comics that tell you what they're about in the fucking title. Yeah. So there is some type of monster that is abducting children. The very first issue, this is issue 2. I usually have wrote down who wrote in the artist, but I didn't. Sorry. But go check it out. Issue 1 was bone chilling. It was awful. It was disturbing. It was everything you want out of a comic titled Something is Killing the Children. Like, it couldn't have been more on the fucking nose and more awesome. So now this is from Boom Studios, which is a very, very, very small a comic publisher. They are getting bigger because they really publish really good shit. Now, this book, I love the first one. The second one dives more into we have a very Buffy the Vampire Slayer character that entered the first one. She comes to town. She's obviously very skilled in dealing with this type of problem. But the greatest part, the very emotional part of the story is there's a little boy who was out playing with his friends. Okay. Well, they're all telling like ghost stories. And this little boy tells a story about this monster that was looking at him in his backyard. Well, they go like to try to make the boy, you know, prove that, you know, he wasn't lying about it. he goes into, they go into the woods looking for this monster. Well, it finds them. And this one little boy, it's kind of like, you know, one of the main characters, he's the only one that survives. Okay. Well, to make matters even more interesting. Yeah. James Tyrion. Yes. Thank you very much for that. James Tyrion is the writer. Yeah, he's wrote Batman. He's done some Batman stuff, Detective Comics, James, Tyrion has, and they were really, really good. But this is like, this is an original story from him. It's again, so this little boy, he lives, his buddies do not. So when he goes to tell the police, he the whole time he's just sobbing. This is issue one. He's sobbing. I was lying about there being a monster, but there really was. And they're like, okay, kid. So now the whole town thinks this little boy slaughtered these kids, his friends, because he happened to have a crush on one of them. And because this kid either didn't like him or wasn't gay himself, everybody thinks he did it because of that. So this small town is wrecked, and this little boy is wrecked by this story. Well, lo and behold, the chick on this cover here, can't think of her name. Hi, Audrey. Hi. But she comes to town, very skilled. She's obviously a monster hunter. Now, we still don't know a lot about her, but she has befriended this kid, not very reluctantly befriended, let's say. And she's hunting this monster. Now, there's all kinds of shit we don't know yet. She keeps getting phone calls from somebody that's obviously her her handler. Like, did the handler send her there? Does she does this shit on her own? She obviously, Rhino! I know, guys. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you're like, motherfucker, get through a goddamn statement. Get through your point. I'm just welcoming people in chat, guys. If you're listening on iTunes, you should really watch the live show. It's a lot of fun. So she is hunting this monster with this kid's help, kind of. And there's so much stuff we don't know. Her handler keeps calling her. We don't know. She's obviously had some type of trauma from a type of creature encounter. You kind of get that in issue two. But the coolest thing in issue two is they go to this diner, and this is going to be like her base of operations. It was going to be her base of operations. And she uses this big table, and she's marking the disappearances. And come to find out, yeah, she is totally psycho, nuts. But very, very cool at the same time. She's a monster hunter. I mean, fuck, what's not cool about that? So she's mapping out where the children have been taken. And some of these children are just missing. Their bodies haven't been found yet. So she knows that the monster is hiding the bodies, like kind of like an alligator does when they grab meat or they get a prey. They roll it at the bottom of the lake until they're ready to eat it. Yeah, it's kind of fucking creepy, right? So she's doing all this. Well, come to find out, the kid that's running this restaurant, his sister is missing. And he, like, is kind of overhearing all this. And so, you know, he basically is like, get the fuck out of my restaurant, you psycho, you know, you weirdos. Well, she's got this purple octopus. It looks like, I guess it looks like a stuffed purple octopus. And the kid's like, what's up with the octopus? And she's like, don't ask about the octopus. Well, when she goes back to her hotel room, she's talking to the octopus. And then the next panel is, she's like, okay, look, I need you to be thinking about this shit while I'm doing this. And the octopus goes, okay. So I don't know if it's possessed. The last panel of the page makes you think that there is some type of entity that resides in this little stuffed octopus, but it's shit like that that makes this book so compelling, and it makes me want to know more. And like, who is this chick? Who is she talking to on the phone? Who the fuck is in this octopus? So the last page is the sheriff comes to knock on the door because the guy that runs the hotel is like, I want this fucking crazy bitch out of here. he knocks on the door. He's like, hey, ma'am, is there something going on in this room? And she's like, no, officer, there's nothing going on. And she opens the door up further and she's like, how may I help you? And there's this thing coming out of the octopus. So I'm fucking, I don't know if he can see that or just she can see that. So it's going to be really interesting. Yeah, yeah, Rhino. Man, Something is Killing the Children is like one of my favorite new titles that I've picked up lately. And it's from Boom Studios, which really warms my heart because they're a small, small publisher. And they've got a banging hit on their hand right now. I mean, this thing is going to be awesome. And and Jason will probably correct me here. But it has been slated for either Netflix or Hulu, or it's going to be a TV show, which is what turned me on to it, because I'm like, ooh, I might want to get that first issue in case it's the next Walking Dead, right? But I got it, love it. My pick of the week, I usually don't start my pick of the week, but here it is. My pick of the week is Something is Killing the Children, number 2. Very, very, very creepy as fuck. Great art, great storytelling, fantastic characters, everything a fucking comic book should be. Right here, Something is Killing the Children, number 2. Well done, James Tynion the 4th. Very, very well done. All right, my next book. This is like, I mean, this shit is fucking peanut butter and jelly right now, guys. X-Men. This is X-Men number 1. This is the reboot of reboot of reboots. Nah, that's not true. It's just a new X-Men title. There's been 1,000 X-Men number ones, right? Okay, so by Jonathan Hickman. Now, Lentil Yu, or however the fuck you pronounce his name, he is the artist on this book. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way. This is the only thing I don't like about this book. I'm not crazy about his art. And actually, he has gotten better with time. Still can't get into it. Pepe Larraz, that was on House of X and Powers of X, man, that was such great fucking artwork. I mean, I became a fan of his, man, through that miniseries. Well, that is over. Now we're getting into the new number ones of the X-Men. But the great thing is, Hickman has rekindled my love and a lot of people's love for the X-Men. And he's redoing everything that we thought we knew, especially with the Myra McTaggart line, where she's basically immortal, or she was immortal. She's on her 10th life now, so that's probably all that she gets. But what a great, fantastic reinvention of basically a throwaway character. Rhino said, my son said both of these are good, and you slap that shit together, and it's double good. You, man, he's right. He nailed it. Yes. They're both fantastic series. This is just an advancement of Hickman's story. The X-Men are on Krakoa. You're getting a very family vibe. Corsair, who is Cyclops and Vulcan's dad, comes to visit his little nook on Krakoa, which is actually on the moon. Now, this is what I'll say. For people that have not read the miniseries, you're going to be fucking lost. You need to read the 12-part miniseries and just to follow. But don't read it because of that. Read it because it's fucking good. It's so fucking good, guys. And you don't really need to know a lot about X-Men history. If you do, you're going to love it that much more, because that's what made me fall in love with that miniseries. But you don't need to know, but everything that's going to come forth from that miniseries is going to be fucking amazing, guys. So get on board now. So X-Men number 1's out this week. Then in the coming weeks, you're going to get Marauders number 1. You're going to get Excalibur number 1. You're going to get something else. Forget Outcast number 1. Yes, right. And Jason's correct. Enjoy it now, because in January there will be up to 8 titles of X-Men. You're exactly right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get these first 4, these first 5, and I'm going to decide on what needs to go. Now, the reason I did choose X-Men number 1 is it is written by Hickman. Now, Hickman is overseeing for the first few story arcs, I would assume, all of them. So they're going to be worth reading somewhat because it's all going to kind of lead into a much bigger story. So let's get into this issue. So this issue, Corsair comes in, which is very, very cool. But he even tells Scott, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about all of this. Like, I feel like you're in more danger now than you were. Now, you know, a father should know his son. And Corsair being a space pirate, I love Corsair. Corsair, he's so fucking badass. Like, I love pirates in general. He's a fucking space pirate. I mean, and then they like they got this dinner going on, and Wolverine's getting on Vulcan for burning his steak, and you know, so there's a lot of cool, like very Chris Claremont, John Byrne type of vibe going on in this issue. So again, if you're an X-Men fan from way back, you're going to love this issue, I think. It gets into a lot of family team element, not so much the politics of Krakoa's Quiet Council, which we'll get to later. But yeah, a very good, solid issue. I love how Hickman writes. I love this story. It was very old school to me, and that's something that's been missing from comics for a long time. I give it an 8.5. So guys, please check out X-Men number 1, especially if you've read the miniseries. If not, read the miniseries. You're gonna love that. Okay, another book from Boom Studios, which I can't believe, I just now realized that I have two books on here from Boom Studios. Once and Future. Now, okay, so stay with me on this, okay? Not that it's confusing, but for everybody looking to get into something new, this is your book. Something's Killing the Children. If you're a horror fan, Something Killing the Children, you're going to love the suspense and the horror of it all. Okay, and it's very graphic and violent too. The Once and Future, okay? Basically a play on the Once and Future King, okay, which was one of my favorite stories as a kid coming up. I loved King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table. When I was a kid, I just wanted to be a fucking knight. You know, Sir Lancelot. He loved Gwyneth from a distance. You know, he could never tell because it was a chivalrous thing to do. You know, yes, and Karen Gillan. This is written by Karen Gillan. It's he nails it, man. It's so good. This is a great story, and it's a reimagining of King Arthur's story. Okay, like we all think of King Arthur being this benevolent being. This King Arthur is not. He wants to rid England of the scum that is the Welsh. He wants to get England back to true English. It's very, very cool. Now, what's cool about this story is I don't have the characters' names written down because I didn't do any notes for you guys. I'm sorry. But there's an old lady. This gentleman here in the cover, he is the son, or I'm sorry, the grandson of an older lady who is, there's a lot more to her than what she lets on. Again, this book has fantastic characters. She's basically running around pointing guns at people, but she was embedded in this life, in this order, to keep the real king of England from coming back to life. And it's too late. Arthur is back, but now he's trying to gain power. And how he got his knights, it was a very, very cool story in issue 1. Issue 2, they are just furthering the plot. If you are looking for something new and cool, and if you're like me and you really dig like the Knights of the Old Republic. Of course, everybody digs that. The Knights of the Round Table, Galahad, King Arthur, the Sword in the Stone, Excalibur. A lot of English history is going into this story. Now, some of the English history, I'm kind of, especially in this issue, where they talked about where King Henry was dubbed a knight, which is very crucial to a prophecy. I'm not real sure, you know, like I would have to go back and research that. I'm just going to take it, the story for what it is. And it's awesome. Like, I cannot wait till issue 3. So once in Future King. And again, hold on. I'm going to double check this real quick. I'm going to double check this because I have it like that. Bear with me for 1 second. I'm looking this up. But the Once in Future has also been auctioned for something. Once and Future. Boom. Right here. It says an evil Arthurian myth is summoned from the past to wreak havoc in present day. That is correct. But it does not say that it was auctioned by anything. Let me see. Fuck. Okay. I know it is. I know it has been. You can Google it. I was looking at my trusty app that I use, but it's not in there. Once in Future King. Get it. I give this an 8.5 as well. This is a fantastic story. The art is wonderful. It's lovely. You're going to love it. It is violent. And this dude's girlfriend is really, really hot. And she's a historian, which makes it the most unbelievable part of the story. There is no hot historians. So, but anyway, it's a fantastic book, man. Get this. Again, this is from Boom Studios. A lot of people aren't going to... they're not going to remember, like, no one's heard of shit from Boom Studios. So, I love it that they have two books right now that are just totally kicking ass. So kudos to you, Boom Studios. And people can get off my ass for saying, all you do is read Marvel DC. Nah, motherfucker. I read it all. I read good shit. I don't give a fuck where it comes from. Okay. The next book. You guys are going to love this. Imagine That. A Batman book on the Blazing Defender Report. So, yes. 81, City of Bane. This is actually this is what they call a virgin variant cover. Why is it virgin? Because it has, because it ain't been fucked into places yet. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't have the title at the top or any of the, you know, the UPC code or any of all that shit. It's called a virgin cover. And I actually have this cover somewhere. It's in my stack over there, but yeah, really, really cool. Joseph Matea, I believe is his name. That's been doing these beautiful painted pages. This one's actually on cardstock, which means it's a little bit thicker cover. Really, really good. It's glossy. It's beautiful. But, oh, okay. So Batman has finally healed from Bane breaking his back. He's come back to take back Gotham from Bane and his merry band of Batman's rogues. So, yeah, Tom King. Let's talk about Tom King for a little bit. And John Romita Jr. is also the artist in the story, which I do like Romita Jr. I know some people don't. I get it. I love his action sequences. And this story is actually one big long action sequence where it's basically Batman taking down Grundy, taking down Croc, Batman and Catwoman. But the big story is all the Robins show up to take down the new Batman, our Flashpoint Batman, Thomas Wayne from the Flashpoint timeline. There's a lot of stuff about this story that that people aren't liking. I get it. It was late as fuck. It's been drawn out as fuck. But this 81 is, we're finally figuring out what the fuck has been going on for the last 15 issues. Batman apparently, now I'll have to reread this, reminding you, I've only read this once. But I don't know if I'm going to feel any different about this. Batman's plan the whole time was to be defeated by Bane and have his back broken. Yeah, that's what you're going to get out of this issue. Some shit about... now, what was cool is... Now, this is he and Catwoman talking. Batman and the Robins had developed a communication method of fighting. So if there's something that Batman wants to communicate to the Robins, he's going to throw certain blows at an opponent, and then they know, oh shit, that means to do this. It's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. It's nothing that I don't expect from Batman to have some crazy shit like this. But what they have to do is pretty severe. And they basically all go off the grid. They all get in touch with one another. It's very hush-hush, secret-secret. And they know that Batman is going to lose. And they have to wait for his signal before they do anything else. So, now, the issue where Alfred was killed does look like it's going to stand. Because I thought it was Clayface. It is revealed here that Clayface had another agenda. Okay? Which was actually pretty cool. Not going to lie. I didn't hate everything about this issue. Jason said Tom King is a trade paperback kind of writer. Very, very, very much so. He is very long game. But what separates his long game from a Jonathan Hickman long game is Hickman gives you stories, self-contained stories that you can enjoy in the midterm. Okay? And then still you get a massive payoff at the end. King is, I feel like he's unable to do that. And I think he's proved that on Batman. Now, War, Jokes, and Riddles is still one of my favorite Batman stories of all time. Tom King. Okay? But then when you go to try to fold that into City of Bane, which all of this from Gotham Girl and Gotham were part of Bane's plan, okay, according to King, it gets to be a little much for me. So, but back to this story. But it also says that Batman is saying this to Selina, Catwoman, that Alfred got away. He did. But now the Robins are attacking Thomas Wayne Batman and beating the snot out of him because they feel like Alfred is dead. Now, does Batman know something the Robins don't? Did Alfred have another set of plans? Who did Bane twist his fucking head off? Who was that dude then, if it wasn't Alfred? So there's still confusion. And that's what pisses me off about King. I don't want to be so goddamn confused all the time. You know? So I get it. I know where the Robins were. I know you decided to lose, which... And, you know, she's like, you wanted to lose. Selina's like, you wanted to lose. And Batman's like... Strength isn't necessarily head on into a fight. You know, you have to pick your battles and blah, blah, blah. I get it, Sun Tzu. I get it. All right. But what if Bane didn't just break your back? What if he fucking snapped your fucking head off your shoulders? It's kind of a bad loss to take, Bruce. Just saying. I'm not the world's greatest detective, but that seems like a bad plan. Why did you have to be defeated to retreat? Because that's what she says. Oh, you retreated. And he's like... Yeah, basically. Well, why'd you have to get beat to retreat? Don't you retreat before you get beat? I don't know. But we do find out why they were in, I believe, Hawaii. There was a sale of Super Venom, which we find out is what gave Gotham and Gotham Girl their abilities. We still didn't get to see that, like, that sale go down and them thwart that sale. We didn't get to see that. So there's something else that Tom King wants you to infer instead of show you. That's the kind of shit that drives me nuts in this book. Now I am going to reread it. And as Jason mentioned in chat, I am going to go back and read the trade of City of Bane because I feel like this type of story, the magnitude of the story, it warrants that. It warrants a reread. I just wish I didn't have to fucking reread it. I reread all House of X and all Powers of X or Powers of 10, however you want to interpret it, because I wanted to, because there's clues in every issue that leads you to the next story. And you're like, oh yeah, I knew that, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I don't want to reread it because I was confused. I want to reread it because I want to reread it. You know what I'm saying? All right, enough of that. I gave it a fucking 6, man. Now, next episode, after I've had a chance to reread and digest, we'll see. We shall see. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it right now, guys. Yeah, he is definitely long game, but I'm not sure that it's the type of long game that I want to watch. The Monday Night Football game, I went to bed. I'm like, man, this, you know, the referee, this refereeing shit sucks. These two teams are not good. I'm going to fucking bed. So, this was not this week. Blazing Defender, drink another fucking monster, dude, because you fucking lost your shit. No, I know this was not last week, guys. This was last week. Harley Joker. This is from the Black Label. Do I have a Black Label book here? I'd like to show you. So DC's doing this Black Label stuff. It's adult. This issue is a very, very adult. And they're big. They're magazine size. They're really, really cool. It's really, really cool to read. Beautiful artwork. And I'm going to show you some of the artwork. I know I haven't showed you artwork from the other shit, but these next two I am going to show you some artwork from because I think it warrants it. So I'm not into the Harley Joker thing. I love the Joker, but Harley, I could take her leave her unless she's a hot chick cosplaying at a con. Right? Right, guys? Come on. And while I was Louder in Life, which was a metal show a couple weeks ago, Dennis Robinson from Botch came down. We had a great time at the concert for 3 days. The first chick we see that's cosplaying at the metal show is a Harley Quinn. Imagine that. They're everywhere. But this is fucking fantastic. It's beautiful. It's beautifully illustrated. Two different illustrators, and I'm going to show you the difference. Harley is not bonkers, batshit Harley. She's being reimagined as a criminal profiler, a serial killer profiler, all right, who is on the trail of the Joker. We see no Joker in this. We only see his handiwork. Okay? So, you have what has happened before, which is in beautiful color, beautiful illustrations of very lifelike faces. And then you have what's happening in the present, which is done in black and white, very noir. I'm going to show you. So Harley was in medical school with a roommate. She come home from working her job. It was late. She finds a roommate wrapped up in a bathtub like this. Yep, the Joker handiwork. She's tied up, and if you could zoom in, her throat is slit, but she has this smile on her face. Okay? The Joker is a serial killer in this story, and Harleen Quinn is on his trail as FBI investigator. Now, let me see. Where is page 2? Here's page 2. Very, very cool artwork on the color portion, and very, very cool artwork on the black and white. Now, this is another body that is found by the Joker. And that is one body that has multiple body parts sewn onto it like Da Vinci's Art of Man. Okay? And she is working with the GCPD, which are a bunch of bumbling idiots, apparently, and Commissioner Gordon, who's a bumbling idiot. She's working with them to solve the case. And she's strictly on the case because her roommate, which is somebody that she cared deeply for, was killed by the Joker. So, but this is the artwork that is the present day. So two different artists. It's fucking beautiful. I love it when two artists that are fantastic can seamlessly go from page to page and you know exactly what timeline you're in. So, this is a very interesting story. Is she going to find the Joker? Is she going to have a romantic involvement with the Joker? Or is she just simply hunting him down to take him down? Well, I don't know. I have no idea what the story holds, but it's a very dark, gritty story. And it's beautifully, beautifully done, beautifully, beautifully written. By the way, is the Black Label at DC pretty much dead? I hear conflicting reports about the future of the imprint. I don't know. I know, they're all miniseries, and I don't know how well they've been received. I feel like this is fantastic. Now, there's another Black Label that I picked up today. Superman Year One has been done by Frank Miller, which is Black Label also. Issue one was god-awful. Issue two was fantastic. You ever want to know if Superman could become a Navy SEAL? Well, buy issue two, because it tells you the story, and it's not how you think it would go down, so it's very, very good. This has been the best one so far. I love this story. I love the take on it. But I don't know. I know they're more expensive, which I know is not going to appeal to everybody, but they are in a larger format, a very nice format. I wish I had the one that I bought today up here. But I'm not sure about that, Jason. But I feel like they got a hit with this one. So it's a very different take on Harley than we're used to. And I myself love it. But very curious on going forward how this story progresses. A lot of stories start out real good and then they just end up fucking sucking. But it's been pretty good. Now, so the next story is another one from DC. DC's really doing some good shit right now. Now, this again is a virgin cover of the comic, the Bat Penis. Yeah, so the Batman Black Label, issue one, you actually get to see Bruce's junk. And I do have a copy of that before they pulled them and did a edited version. I do have that issue, actually. I need to get a frame for it and put it back here. Because, I mean, what's more important than Bat Dick? Nothing. Nothing at all. So this is Deceased number 5, okay? And if you have not been reading Deceased, it's very, very good. You need to know nothing about anything other than your, Flash, your Justice League heroes, which, a lot of people like them. And if you're a Flash fan, you may not want to get this issue. And that's what makes Deceased so fucking cool, guys. It is from, I can't remember the guy's name. Again, I don't have the names wrote down or I forget shit. But he is the guy that has written Injustice, which Injustice was based on a video game, the story based on a video game. And it was massively popular. And the reason it was massively popular is because nobody is safe. Nobody is safe in this story. Nobody is safe in Deceased. And basically, it's DC zombies. Marvel did their zombies. DC is doing their zombie take. And it is Deceased. So, long story short, to tell you what happened. Darkseid comes to Earth. He infects Cyborg with the anti-life equation. Cyborg inadvertently distributes it through social media, through the internet. People start succumbing to the anti-life equation and becoming fucking zombies. But it backfired on Apocalypse. Darkseid. Darkseid is dead. And the anti-life equation basically killed him and Apocalypse. So now Superman, very, very few members of the Justice League have bound together to Fortress of Solitude to combat this virus, basically. But they have to deal with superheroes that have already been infected. And this issue, we get the worst case scenario. There it is. So the Flash is taken down by Martian Manhunter. Okay, so now Flash is infected. So now check it out. The fastest man in the world is infected with a fucking virus. Yeah, bad, super bad. So he's fucking flying around just infecting people as fast as he can. Who can take? Who could take fucking Zombie Flash down? Of course, the Man of Steel. So he does, and it's brutal. So just to give you an idea what you're dealing with this story, here you go. If that doesn't say it all, I couldn't find a fucking better panel to post to show you guys. Like, this is god awful, especially if you're a Flash fan. Okay. So basically they're like, you'll never catch him. Flash is faster than you, Clark. Clark's like, not if I meet him from the other way. So Clark goes around the world to meet the Flash head on, and that's what you get. All right. An object that's accelerating meets an immovable object. This is what you get. Okay. Now go down to the last panel and you see worst case scenario. Yes. Now Superman is infected. Okay. So this is what happens. This is why this story is not just gore and cool artwork and good fight scenes. There's a very emotional element to this. And I feel like, again, the cat that wrote this, it escapes me, but he does a great job, because now Superman knows he's only got so much time left. So he goes back to the Fortress of Solitude to say his goodbyes. He can feel it coming on. He's fighting it to say his goodbyes. And by the end, we have Zombie Superman. Now, he was taking himself up to the sun to kill himself. He doesn't make it. So what the fuck is, who's going to take down Zombie Superman? Batman's already done. We lost Batman issue one, guys. Batman's gone. Like I said, don't get too attached to motherfuckers, because they're not probably going to make it. We've got an Oliver. We've got a Black Canary left. Lois, Superboy. Damian is now Batman. And that was a really cool emotional scene where Bruce had already planned. If something like this happened, he was going to give Damian the mantle of the bat and basically say, look, you're not ready, but you gotta be. So that was a very, very cool scene. Deceased has been one of my favorite titles of the year. It is not in continuity, of course. It is basically an Elseworlds story, which basically means it's not happening in our continuity for most of the stories DC puts out. It is a self-contained story, but it's fantastic. I fucking love it. And the artwork is gorgeous. The covers are beautiful, as you just seen with the Harley Quinn cover. They were doing a variant cover homage to horror films. And I think issue 4 that I have is a cover that looks like the poster for Nightmare on Elm Street. The very first Nightmare on Elm Street, where they're laying in bed and, you know, all the shit. So they've done really cool shit like that. Great story. Check this out. Trevor Hairshine or something like that is doing the artwork. As you can see, it's beautiful and graphic and violent, very adult. Do not let your kids read this. They'll fucking have nightmares and be crying that Flash is dead, Superman's dead, Batman's dead, Green Lantern's dead. He was one of the first to go too. So you're going to have a bunch of B-less guys that are going to have to save humanity. Lex Luthor, he dead. Lois is, you know, Lois may be in the hero of the story. I don't know, but, very, very good shit, guys. That's all I have for you, man. That's all the comics that I have for you. Like I said, I didn't get everything read this week, because, you know, I was kind of rushed and they just came out. So, but yeah, dude, go to your local comic shop, find something. Like, you know, if you're watching this show, I gave you three. Once in Future, Something's Killing the Children, and Deceased. You don't need to know shit about anything and just enjoy great stories. Now, I've got another one for you. This is a stack that I just picked up. I haven't even bagged them yet. Coffin Bound. Okay, Coffin Bound is from Image, I believe. Yes, it is. It's written by Dan Waters, and it is fucking batshit crazy. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. I have no idea what's going on, and I love it. It's kind of like the Sucker Punch of movies. Like, I was in Sucker Punch, 45 minutes into the movie, I'm going, I have no idea what I'm watching. I have no idea what the fuck is going on, and I don't care. I'm in fucking just sensory heaven right now. So, and let's see, what else do I have here? These are, okay, here's another Black Label that is not magazine size. Now, this is Snyder and Capullo's Last Night on Earth. It's basically the tale of the last Batman, the very last Batman. The world's went to shit. Very apocalyptic. It's really good. So far, it's pretty good. But I wanted to show you some of these just because I have been on eBay collecting like a motherfucker. I know. I got to stop, man. I got a problem. But this G.I. Joe, you're like, why are you getting G.I. Joe? Okay, this is Chuckles. Do you know who Chuckles is? No, nobody does. But Chuckles is going to be a part of the new G.I. Joe movie that they're doing. He's going to be a major part. That is the first appearance of Chuckles. This is my Batman 300 cover. I know with the plastic on them, it makes it kind of fucking hard to see. But I really dug that cover. There was a shit ton of variant covers. I don't want them all. That was the one I liked the most, so I got it. This is X-Men Origins. This is the origin of Sabretooth. Okay, not a lot has been done about Sabretooth's origin, so I found that one. Now, we were talking about the Quiet Council and the X-Men earlier. This is the this is the new Horseman. I forget what first appearance this is now. Why'd I buy this? Don't remember. Rick Remender, though. Love me some Rick Remender. I actually think I already have this in one of my long boxes, but I got a really good deal on this. And it is the first appearance of something X-Men related. Can't remember what it is now. All right. And this, okay, that's not the one I want to show you. Where's it at? All right. Let's see. Okay, here it is. All right. This is Captain Britain. All right, now why would I buy a Captain Britain book? Okay, as you can see, that is Spitfire and Blade. Blade actually becomes a member of MI-13 in this issue. Now, apparently the Blade movie is going to reintroduce this. That's the speculation right now. That's the reason I bought that book. Exodus. All right, this is the first appearance of Exodus. This is an X-Factor 15. I got a really good deal on this. The guy wanted me to make an offer, and I gave him an offer like $10 below what it's going for, and he said sold. And it's maybe not mint, but it's definitely very, very fine. So that's the first appearance of Exodus. Exodus is a very, very obscure mutant superhero, but he's fucking uber powerful. And there's a reason Hickman put him on the Quiet Council. Now, what's this Quiet Council shit you're talking about, Trav? The Quiet Council is what the mutant island of Krakoa has established as a means of government. Apocalypse, Exodus, Mystique, Magneto, Charles Xavier, Emma Frost, all these are heads of the council. There are some more that I'm forgetting. Exodus again. There's a position that Emma Frost wanted for someone for the Red King of the Hellfire Club, Sebastian Shaw. A lot of villains, right? Gorgon is a captain along with Cyclops, and there's another captain. Oh, fuck, I can't remember. Oh, Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is also on the Quiet Council. So, yeah, it's such a weird dynamic, and I can't wait to get into, you know, the backstabbing and the political side of the Quiet Council. But Exodus, this was the first appearance of Exodus, and I wanted it. I just wanted it. I wanted it. Now, we were talking about movies earlier and multiverse. You know, the Micronauts are going to be a Netflix show. So this is the very first appearance of the Micronauts. okay? And it is mint condition, and I got a really, really good deal on that. I can't believe that I got it for what I did. So, again, I'm collecting books that, you know, are slated for movies or TV shows, because you never know when you might have the next Walking Dead. And hunt around for these guys. Don't pay top dollar for them. Here's another one. Sheltered is going to be a movie. Or no, I'm sorry, a Netflix show. That's number one. And then I have... here it is. This was super hard to find. And this is near mint condition. It's Beta Ray Bill, God Hunter. And this is basically Beta Ray Bill taking on Silver Surfer. He's hunting Galactus for destroying his world, the Corbinites. And it's a really, really good story about how Bill was set on revenge. And then by the end of it, he ends up saving Galactus. Why'd he do that? Well, there's a reason. And check that out. Beta Ray Bill, God Hunter. It was a 3-part miniseries. I only wanted number one because it was so fucking hard to find, but I ended up getting all three of them for what I would have paid for number one. So again, I did really, really well on these. That's the reason I'm showing them to you. Ghost Dog. Okay. Well, first appearance was in Doctor Strange. Now, why would I buy that? Why would I buy that? Because apparently Donny Cates has said this character is going to play a major, major role in a huge event that he's running for Marvel. So I went ahead and bought it. It was cheap, very cheap, like $4 I think I got. And I think the cover was $4. Yep, cover was $4. Boom, boom. Take that, collectors. No. So, yeah, so these books may only be worth what they were worth, but you never know when the next big superhero, next big TV show, next big movie is going to come out, and that's kind of changed the game of collecting, right? Dude, I could show you a room right now full of long and short boxes that would blow your mind. I don't need any more back issues. That's for damn sure. But if it's an investment, and I'll take a chance, and it's kind of cool, man, to start collecting like back issues again. Like I haven't collected back issues in fucking years because I have a bunch of shit. I don't need any more shit, to be honest. But this has been really, really, really fun. So, guys, that's all I got for you. An hour and 11 minutes. That's not bad, right? I promise I'll have better reviews for you next week. And we are going to be doing the X-Men miniseries show coming up maybe next week. I'm gonna try to get these guys together next week, and we're just gonna shit. We're just gonna sit on screen and just shit, and y'all can like make fun of us, and we're gonna throw shit at each other. No. We're going to be doing a like kind of an overview of the miniseries, especially with the ones coming out, and we're going to see how that plays. Because to me, it seems like Charles Xavier has just become the biggest villain in the MCU or the Marvel Universe. So I'm very curious to see how that happens. And then like with Corsair saying when he said today to Scott or Cyclops about, man, I think you're more danger now than you were. You should be safer on this secure little island, but you guys, you're all playing with some shit. So, shitting the shit, and then we took the shit. Yeah, I think that's what we'll do. I'll just get Casey and Sam together, and we'll shoot the shit, then we'll shit the shit, and then we'll throw some shit. How about that? You know, four shits. But yeah, guys, so thank you so much. Guys, thank you so much for joining in to the chat. I really, really appreciate it. Sorry about the timing. I'll get it straightened out, I promise. But yeah, so I'm trying to think when the next show will be. Maybe Monday or Tuesday. Gives me time to read some books and to get some more stuff together. You mean more of a villain than saying he wanted to fuck a teenage Jean? What are you talking about? Professor Xavier wanted to fuck a teenage Jean? I don't remember that. Okay. So for you guys that have read, which I know Jason, some of y'all have. So I'll say this. Charles, when Moira told him that they needed a mutant that could alternate or manipulate reality. Basically, Charles knew this, so he went and had sex with a girl that he ended up having Legion with, and Legion is the mutant that can manipulate reality. They needed that for the resurrection, okay? Because, yeah, if you didn't know that, Xavier can resurrect mutants now with the help of certain mutants, Go-Balls being one of them. Yeah, Go-Balls. It ain't the dude that was just throwing golden balls. Those things were like eggs that can be incubated and with the help of other mutants, make copies of Wolverine, Cyclops, Jean, because they all died in like issue 4 or 3, I think. Yeah, they're all dead, but he brought them back because now he can, with Cerebro, Forge created a Cerebro helmet where he can basically imprint consciousness, like Wolverine's consciousness, on a Wolverine cloned body. Yeah, it gets fucking crazy, but it all makes so much sense. That's what makes it so crazy and cool and weird. But yeah, so yeah, fucking Xavier, you know, it's so funny, for fucking 30 years he was like this, you know, benevolent character that just wanted the good. You know, he wanted unity and he wanted mutants and humans to just coexist in harmony and kumbaya. Nah, dude, that dude is the worst. He's the worst in so many ways. And I think we're just seeing the tip of it now. I mean, yeah, he's in league with Apocalypse and Magneto and Gorgon. I mean, Gorgon is a fucking sociopath. And yeah, now he's one of my generals, you know? It's like, what the fuck, man? This utopia you create is going to crash and just go up awfully. But we're probably years away from that big event, you know, because they're going to milk this thing for as much as they can. But it's been really, really good. So, again, read the miniseries. I'm going to try to do that show, but I do want to have another report. The original X-Men from the original run. Oh, wow, you went way back. X-Men number 4. Okay. Yeah, he probably did, you know, but we thought Luke and Leia were going to fuck too. I mean, he did kiss his sister. I mean, what the fuck was that about? So, but anyway, and then we've got that coming up, guys. We got the new Star Wars movie coming up. So there's a lot in the works, man. It's a great time to be a fucking nerd. You know, I can't get enough of this shit. I know you guys can't either, but, be right here. Follow the Facebook page. If you have not liked or liked me on Twitch, please do that. Follow me. That way you'll get a notification every time I go live and you don't have to worry about the weird, links where you can't get into the chat, which I'm definitely gonna have to look into that. And then that way you guys can always know when I go live and you can always come in here and tell me what you think. I always love that. You're always my co-host. Hey, private showing of Star Wars, the Saturday release. Okay. All right. Have they started pre-selling tickets for that? Because I haven't seen that. I usually get a notification when pre-sale goes live. But you've already rented the room. I mean, even if tickets aren't available, you've got the area. Like, yeah, I know how y'all do it, man. Yeah, Ryan and them do it right. I definitely went in on that, man. Orcs private showing. Gotcha. Yeah, Orcs guys, Ohio River Valley cosplayers. Check that out on Facebook. Ryan started with like fucking 10 people, and now he's got like fucking 3,000. So they're killing it. It's a very positive Facebook group. Please go to that. Check that out if you like cosplay, which I do. I don't do it, but I love watching it. I love seeing the pictures and the people dressed up. It's so cool. But yeah, guys, so check that out. Check out the Blazing Defender on Instagram, Twitter. If you want to follow me on there, that'd be fucking great. If you have a Prime membership, you can get a free Twitch subscription. I'd appreciate that if you'd use that on me. I am going to start doing subscription only content, and I promise to fuck words up constantly on that as well, just so you don't miss out on that. God forbid I do anything else. But guys, again, appreciate you. Check me out on Anchor too. Yeah, Anchor's really cool. You're gonna dig that. But I always appreciate your support, guys. And I'm gonna get something to eat, man. I'm fucking starving. I ran right home and got the show going. So because I'm gonna leave you guys hanging, because I know you need your comic love. And guys, the world is fucking crazy. Please, please, just be nice to one another. Just treat people like you'd want to be treated. Give somebody the benefit of the doubt when they piss you off. I know I struggle at it every day. Every day I get behind the wheel, there's somebody I want to murder. Somebody I want to kill. Trust me, because they can't fucking drive and they shouldn't be on the road. But I tell myself, dude, you don't know what that person's got going on today. He may be texting his, you know, grandmother that's on her deathbed while he's driving, right? No, he's not. But you tell yourself that shit anyway, so you be nice to him. Just treat people like you'd want to be treated, man. The world would be a better place. And with that, guys, I'm out of here. Love you. I'm the Blazing Defender. See you next week. Peace.